So we began last Wednesday evening looking at the message of 1 Thessalonians by considering the wonderful, the remarkable transformation that had taken place in the lives of these Thessalonian Christians. If you remember that just in 3 short weeks of the Gospels being preached by Paul and the others, they were delivered from idolatry, they were converted to Christ, they began as a church and were proving to be a really faithful church, even though there was opposition and persecution. And I said that the challenge to us is, do we really believe in the power of the gospel to save people like this, to really change people? Do we pray accordingly? So this evening, I want us just to dive into the first 3 verses, Paul's greeting and introduction. And really what we have here, what we see is Paul is rejoicing and he's giving thanks because of this great change in them. He's rejoicing, he's giving thanks, he's giving all the glory to God, him and the other brethren with him. And they're always giving thanks for the Thessalonians, for this grace and this transformation. And a word I believe we can use to sum up these opening words is comprehensive. Comprehensive meaning broad, complete, extensive, encompassing. First, Paul reminds us of the comprehensive blessings that we have in Christ. And secondly, he expresses his comprehensive love for all the church. And then third, he gives thanks for the way they are serving God comprehensively with every grace, with every measure of godliness. So if you look at the first at verse 1, Paul, in his greeting, reminds the Thessalonians and us of the comprehensive nature of the blessings that we have in Christ in the gospel, the sweeping, the all-encompassing blessings that we have. Because if you notice, and I think this is unique in Paul's letters, as he greets the church, he doesn't just call them the church of the Thessalonians. He also says that they are the church that is in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. They are in God and Christ. And of all the many wonderful greetings in his letters, I think that's the only time I think he uses that specific phrase, that they're in. And that one little word in is really significant, isn't it? And actually, it expresses every possible good thing we can think of. If you're in God and Christ, you have everything. You have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You have every good thing from God. Now what does Paul mean? Well, I think fundamentally, he's saying they're in fellowship with God and Jesus. Now, certainly, when he has God the Father and the Lord Jesus here side by side in this one sentence, that is to emphasize to us the equality and parity of the Father and the Son, that they are equal in glory as the one God. But also that we come to God the Father through the Lord Jesus as our mediator, as the God-man. But fundamentally, he's saying, you're in covenant with God. You're in with God. And that's the great privilege we've got in the gospel. We're reconciled to God, the Almighty, our Creator. Our sins are forgiven. We are counted righteous, as we heard on Sunday morning. We're members of God's family. We're in God's house. We're in his good graces. We're in his kingdom. We're in the place of blessing. We're in his love. We're the recipients of every good thing. Or to put that another way, as Paul does, God extends grace and peace to us. The greeting here is not from Paul, it's from God and the Lord Jesus Christ through Paul. God says to you, grace to you and peace to you. God bestows and is pouring out grace and his favor and his peace upon his people. It makes me think of the benediction at the end of a worship service. Do we always take in what's happening there? It's not really a prayer asking for those things. It's not a wishful statement of we want God to do this. No, God actually is bestowing through his word those blessings on his people as they are spoken. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The love of God. God is saying these things are yours and I bestow them on you and all the blessings of them. So this is what we have in God. Grace and peace. It's comprehensive, isn't it? It just covers everything and any need you might have. But isn't it wonderful that that's the greeting here to this church? And we can apply it to ourselves. Church of Bury St. Edmunds, God says to you this night, grace and peace to you. You are in. And we should rejoice that we have this fellowship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as we come to pray tonight, this should be our starting point. We must remind ourselves of these things. So we shouldn't be afraid to pray, hesitant, or doubting. We shouldn't fear God is not listening or is against us. We must come in faith, laying hold of this grace that we've been given, and pray with joy and faith and with boldness to our Father, because we're in. Well, then secondly, if you look at me at verse 2, Paul expresses his comprehensive love for all the Thessalonians. And to me, I think it's really striking if you look at that verse, how much emphasis Paul puts on all, everyone, always. I mean, he says he and Silvanus and Timothy, and whoever else no doubt is with them, pray always for you all. For you all, so for the whole church, every member inclusive. And says, remembering them without ceasing, constantly. I mean, he could have just said, couldn't he? We pray for you. We pray for you as a church. But he doesn't. You know, with his warm heart, his love for God's people is always just bubbling up and spilling out. And he says, we pray for each one of you. You little saints at the back that think you're not. Yeah, we remember you fondly. We picture your face. We remember you. We're praying for you. And we feel such a care to pray for you. It's constantly. I'm going about my daily business. I'm here in Athens or wherever he's at that moment. And you come to my mind that I've got to stop and pray for you. And so what's really coming across is the love and the affection that Paul and the others have got for the church. And he's saying to these Thessalonians, they're not alone. They're near to the hearts of others in God's people. So again, remember the context. It's so important for this letter. Paul had only been with them for 3 weeks. And they've gone to try and spur them persecution. Now, imagine you're that church in that situation. Your preachers and leaders have had to go, and you're a tiny number, and you've got these hostile people and authorities around you. You might get very discouraged and think, we're alone. We've been abandoned. And so what a wonderful thing that Paul's saying, not at all. But you're near to our hearts, and we're constantly bringing you before God. So again, when we come to pray this evening, it's a challenge to us. Do we genuinely have the same concern and passion for other Christians? If we love our fellow Christians, we'll show it by praying for them. And our hearts should be stirred up to be praying constantly. And for Christians around the world, those who've moved on from us, those who are far away, if we're sharing in the love of Christ, we're going to pray for God's people like this. And then third, if you look with me at verse 3, Paul gives thanks that the Thessalonians are serving God so comprehensively, with a real measure of grace and godliness. There's a wholesomeness. There's something complete about the way they're serving. Because look at how he describes them. He gives thanks for their work of faith. It's not just their faith. Their faith and works. The works that are the fruit of their faith. They've got faith and they're showing it in how they're living. In their obedience. They're serving of others. He gives thanks for their labor of love. So again, not just their love in the heart, but that they labor at it. Sometimes it's hard to love one another and show love. You've got to be forbearing and forgiving and generous. And you're going to have to work hard at it. And he says they're doing that. Again, it's love in deeds as well. And then also their patience in hope. He's speaking there about their perseverance. Their endurance, actually. It's the same word we were looking at Sunday night. That they're not giving up under persecution. But they're staying faithful. And when you look at the faith, hope and love there. I mean, it's a summary of everything you'd want a Christian to be, isn't it? And do. We want to be faithfully working. Lovingly labouring. Patiently hoping. And it's just this fulsome, comprehensive balance to this, isn't it? And Paul's rejoicing that God's grace is at work in them in this way. So again, our prayer should be to be complete Christians like this. To be growing in all these graces. That we're not kind of lopsided Christians who've got one leg longer than another. That can talk a good game about faith, but don't show it in their works. And we want to have this kind of fulsome Christ-like character. So we should pray. But then there's this one final encouragement for them and for us in this. I don't know if you noticed there, though, Paul says that all this is in the sight of God. It's in the sight of God. Meaning God sees their labor, their faith, the perseverance. So the world scorns them, small in number, small in strength, but God is watching. God sees their good deeds, it's pleasing to him, and will certainly be rewarded by him. And isn't that ultimately the thing to inspire us and encourage us more than anything else? If we know our God sees and knows and is pleased. It's good to be childlike in our faith, the Lord says. And our family is still at that happy stage when the little ones are always saying, watch me do this, Dad. You know, it's Ava on her gym bar, it's Theo kicking the ball, it's watch me. And there's a delight when they have just knowing they're being watched and you're thrilled in them. Well, in the sight of God, God's saying, take delight, child of God. Your Father is watching. And he sees these good things and the fruit in your life and how it pleases him. And so take delight, take heart and encouragement in that child of God. Isn't that just a really wonderful, potent encouragement? So may the Lord help us as we pray together tonight, that we will pray for souls to be transformed like the Thessalonians. That we will be growing ourselves in love for others. And that we'll be growing in this fulsome Christian character that we see. Let's pray together. Lord God, our Father, we thank you again that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. We thank you, Lord, for your mighty power that has raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, your mighty power that saves us. We thank you for your power, Lord, that has come into all our lives and raised us up out of our spiritual death in sin. Lord, we thank you for your power that sustains us and keeps us. We thank you that we're safe in your everlasting arms, that there's nothing the devil or the world can throw at us as your people that you cannot handle. And we thank you, Lord, for your power that changes us, that sanctifies us, and that you can transform us so that we too are full of love and faith and hope. And we thank you, Lord, that we see this in the Thessalonians, and that you grant the same saving power today. So we pray, Lord, as you watch us, help us, Lord, we ask to pray with faith, to pray, Lord, believing in your great saving power. In Jesus' name, amen.